Good afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 89th edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During the show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. Today, my guest is Juliana Bean, originally from the Sun City of Natal in northeast Brazil. She was the youngest of five children who had a knack for languages and came to Maine to study in 1999 on a special scholarship. Now she, her husband, and their son live here, and she's a parent community specialist for the Portland Public Schools, offering translating, cultural brokering, interpreting in Spanish and Portuguese. Thank you so much for coming on the show with me today, Juliana.
You're very welcome, Kate. It's an honor to be here.
Thank you. So you were raised in a city of about 800,000 people on the easternmost point of Brazil on the Atlantic Ocean. However, from the pictures, this Atlantic Ocean and the one we live on seem entirely different. Doesn't seem quite fair. In pictures, the water's green, the sands are white, and it's sunny 360 days a year. I wonder if you could tell us about the Natal of your childhood and what it was like for you growing up there.
Yeah, I have many fond memories of growing up in Natal because it was a very carefree lifestyle. And, you know, I remember getting out of school and just going to the beach and hanging out with my friends. So you're right. It was about 360 days of sun and then 5 days of rain. That's pretty much how people, you know, would make fun of it. When it was raining, they would say, oh, it's making winter today. So, but yeah, it's the city's gotten a lot bigger now. I think they've gotten over, like in the greater Natal, is about 1 million inhabitants. So it's very different from when I was growing up, that for sure.
Yeah, it's at the mouth of a big river.
Yes, and you know, they say that if you take a boat from the ocean in Natal, you can end up in Africa in a straight shot. So and the water is really warm. It's about 70 to 80 degrees. And sometimes there's reef pools where you can swim.
Looks like there's a lot of snorkeling and scuba diving.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of water activities. Jet skiing is pretty popular too. Mm-hmm.
Do you have porpoises that swim along the beach there? And dolphins?
Yeah, we swam with the dolphins the last time we were there. That was a very magical experience. Yeah. Wow.
How beautiful. Lucky you.
Yeah.
It's a gorgeous place. Mm-hmm. And you were the youngest of five?
Yes. You know, all my siblings still live in Brazil, and they're kind of spread out throughout the country. But my mom and my older brothers live in Natal, and my sisters in the southern part of Brazil.
And you probably don't get to see them very often.
I don't. The last time I saw my sister was 2.5 years ago when my mom had a stroke. And my brothers, I was pregnant with Lucas last time I saw them.
So,
and he's now seven. Yeah. Mm. So it's been a while. And I have a half a sister that lives in Italy that I haven't seen probably in 20 years. So.
And do you Skype? Does the world seem a little smaller with all our technology now?
I don't know what would be of me if there was no Skype or Facebook or WhatsApp and those types of technologies that we can use to alleviate a little bit of the saudade, which is a word that we use to say when you're longing for someone. It's a word in Portuguese that really represents like when you miss something or someone or some food.
Mm-hmm. So what did you do for fun when you were a kid, when you weren't at the beach?
When I was about 8, my dad bought a blackboard and he put it on our veranda. And I used to call out my neighbors and I would teach them how to read and write. And I just loved it. It was my favorite activity to do. I played teacher.
We played school, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My mom bought one of those teacher books where you could write in the grades, and we'd make up grades. That was really fun.
Yeah. And then, you know, by doing that, and I was teaching them one time, you know, how to look at the colors and stuff like that, and we found out that one of the neighbors was colorblind, and they had no idea. The family didn't even know, so.
Changing lives from a pretty young age.
I guess so.
That's what I call a calling.
It feels like it, yeah.
Yeah.
yeah, helping people has always been like deep in my heart in any way. So, yeah.
And you were also interested in languages at a very young age, weren't you? It wasn't just colors and shapes you were teaching.
No. I was teaching them how to read and write, mostly in Portuguese. But also I had an aunt that used to own an English school. And she would give me books from the school. And I just really, really enjoyed figuring out what those words mean. And, you know, I kind of self-taught English from the time I was maybe 5 or 6, so I could really read some of those cartoons that she would give me, like comic books, you know?
Sure.
In English, and it just, you know, from there on, just always really doing my best in the English classes at school, and always the English teachers that I've had were always big role models for me. They would always go above and beyond and maybe invite me to be a teacher's assistant sometimes, and that's kind of led to me getting a job as an English teacher when I was 14.
That's young, isn't it?
That's young, yeah. But in Brazil, you know, you can, if you want to speak a language, not just by going to school every day, but you can go to private language schools where you can go like twice a week, 3 times a week. So if you speak English really well or another language, you can start teaching.
I think you were a really good deal for the people in your neighborhood. They got free education. Because education's expensive in Brazil, right?
It is very expensive.
You do the primary grades are private, and then if you do well in that, you can go to public university. Is that kind of the general stream?
That's right. It's kind of a sad, vicious cycle. You know, the people who don't have money go to public school, and public school is kind of known to be of lower quality. And then you can't go to college because the exams to enter the universities are really competitive. But if you go to a private school when you're in the formative years, then you get to really good high school that is private, then you get really good quality education, then you can pass the entrance exams. I was very lucky that my grandparents were able to sponsor my education through my life up until high school. And that was how I was able to get into college.
They saw you as a good bet.
That one of my grandfather's kind of thing was that he wanted to make sure education was not a barrier to access for all his grandchildren. And so that was a blessing.
That is a real gift. Mm-hmm. And a gift that continues to give, you know, with your teaching and interpreting.
Absolutely.
I'm sure you're passing along all those lessons you learned along the way from him.
Yeah, there's this thing that I heard one time, and I really took it to heart. Like, it says that if you benefit from something, you have a duty to share it. So I like sharing, you know, learning.
Yes, a little noblesse oblige. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when you miss things in Brazil, what do you long for? What do you end up missing?
Food is like number one. It's really hard to find Brazilian food here in Portland or in Maine in general. Sometimes friends get together and we do something that it's like a barbecue, but it's the Brazilian churrasco. It's different because it's seasoned with just the sea salt. But if you go to Massachusetts, sometimes you can find really good Brazilian food. So I get to curb my cravings there. But yeah, and you know, family.
So besides
also.
Barbecue, what would that be? Barbecued beef?
It's, yeah, beef and chicken or sausage, pork. It's just seasoned in sea salt, and that's it. And then you put it on the grill. Usually it's charcoal grill, you know?
Yeah, gives it more flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And then what else? What other foods can you not find here that you long for?
Frango al molho madeira is one of my favorites, and I'm trying to copy a recipe from Cheesecake Factory that's kind of similar to the Brazilian one, but also farofa. If you don't have the main ingredients to make it, it's really hard, which is kind of like a stuffing, you know?
With meat?
Feijoada, which is like the beans, the black beans, and it's cooked with the sausages and some meats.
Mm.
It's very yummy.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you wish all Americans knew about Brazil when you run into people? I bet people have very limited snapshots in their mind's eye about what Brazil is.
Brazil is a really big country, and you can find all kinds of cultures just within the country itself. If you go to the Northeast, you will find beautiful, beautiful beaches and very welcoming people. People are very polite, and they receive tourists with very open arms. And in the South, you know, you're going to find the modern cities and things like that. But I would just say, you know, try to go somewhere to stay where it's safe. If you know somebody in Brazil, ask for help when you go to visit. It's a beautiful country, but it's becoming a little bit dangerous right now, and it saddens me, you know.
Sure. Yeah.
But Brazil is a very welcoming country. People in general are very receptive and genuine and caring.
I think all they'd have to do is Google Natal, N-A-T-A-L, Brazil, and mm-hmm. they're going to want to go.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous.
Natal is a brother city to our state is the brother state to the state of Maine. So there's a lot of partnerships that, you know, if people are interested in going, that they could seek out. You know.
How would they find that? Through the state of Maine?
There's this organization called the Partners of America. The University of Maine has a partnership with the University of Rio Grande do Norte. That's one way, if you're a student, you can, you know, try to go through the scholarship program like
and
I did.
And that's how you came.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're so lucky you did.
Yeah.
You are listening to WMPG, and if you're just joining us, welcome. This is New Mainers Speak. I'm Kate Manahan, and my guest today is Juliana Bean, who hails from Natal, Brazil, and now lives and works here and in several capacities in Portland, Maine, as a Spanish and Portuguese teacher, a translator, and a community specialist for the Portland Public Schools. I wondered if we could start by you describing for us what a normal day at work might look like for the Portland Public Schools.
It's quite chaotic because you're pulled in several different ways. So part of what we do on a daily basis is look at our requests, what we call the tickets. You know, every single one of the schools have students with families that don't speak English. They're either Spanish of Portuguese or Spanish. That we have to serve. So, you know, it may be a teacher's meeting with a parent or an IEP meeting, you know, the special education meeting, or it could be a child got hurt or a child got in trouble. So, you know, I have to go to all the different kinds of schools and I have to schedule my time to make sure that I have enough time to go from one school to another. And on top of that, there's recorded calls that get sent to the parents that I have to you know, put into place, or translations that we might have deadlines to get ready to send to the schools to inform the parents. And then there's parent conferences time, where we have over 800 conferences to schedule. So it's not, there's not a dull moment.
It sounds really busy.
Yeah.
And so you work with families that are maybe Mexican-American or?
I work with families that are Spanish-speaking. Most of the families here in Portland area are from Central America, either Honduras, Guatemala, El Salvador, a few from Mexico, you know, but mostly from these the three big areas. And Portuguese speakers are mostly coming from Angola.
Yes. Angola was formerly a colony of Portugal.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
so mm-hmm. Are there any Portuguese speakers who are not from Angola?
I don't think so. The ones that I have been working with, there may be one or two that are from either Congo or other regions, or maybe Cape Verde, but that the great majority of the ones that I serve are from Congo, from Angola, excuse me.
Yes. So what is the multilingual, multicultural center responsible for these days?
Mm-hmm.
What you do and what you've just described for mm-hmm. us is your daily work, but there's mm-hmm. a wide scope of
Absolutely.
Services that this
right.
branch of the Portland Public Schools offers.
Exactly. The Multilingual Center is a part of the Portland Public Schools Center. We get referrals of families through our community partners. We basically do, when a brand new family comes into the city, we do our welcome through our welcome center. We do intake. We promote professional development with our staff throughout the district. We also offer parent advisory council meetings to do trainings with the parents to do some kind of education about different themes. We also support our kids through summer programming. We do also after-school program, after-school tutoring for college readiness and engaging these newcomer families and what it is like to be a parent of a student in the United States, what it's like, you know.
That's so helpful because different things are expected of parents here than in other countries.
Exactly. And a lot of these families, and this is something I tell all the teachers and staff that I come across, don't assume. Don't assume anything. It's always better to ask and, you know, overemphasize than to assume something, because a lot of these cultures, they, you know, being involved in a child's education is looks very different from what Americans' perspective is. So it's like, you know, you have a voice here in America. You can go to the school and say, I don't like this about what's going on with my child, or can we look at what's going on and see how we can help, how we can work together. So a lot of parents, they don't really know that they have that voice. And that's part of a lot of the work that we do, is to give these families a voice.
It's really a valuable service. And I saw online that the interim superintendent Crocker said the goal is to stand out as a world language powerhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And Portland is uniquely poised to do that.
It is. And I think we're one of the very few districts that have a multilingual, multicultural center.
Not just in Maine.
No, in Maine, we're the only one.
Yes, and so one of the few in the country that
I believe so
really approaches this so holistically, helping teachers learn what they might be working with. You know, there's some students who have never been to a school or have only been to a refugee school.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of families that maybe have been in hiding for one reason or another because of persecution, the kids may have had a lot of interruption in their education, you know.
Sure.
Yeah.
This is brilliant. And how did it ever come to pass that Portland has such a fantastic multilingual, multicultural center?
You know, I think from the need in the past 15 years, the population of non-English speaking families has just grown exponentially. So that need arised, and the district just started seeing that we needed to have one place to collect all this data and to provide training. So, you know, I think we're gathering information from all kinds of districts that are doing it right and trying to do just that, just become a powerhouse.
It's brilliant. And I know Grace Valenzuela is a big person behind.
Yes, she is. She's our fearless leader.
Absolutely. And good at getting grants, too, to help fund those things.
Absolutely. If it weren't for the grants and for the fundraisers that we do, we could not do the amazing work that we all do. It takes a lot of people. It takes a lot of hours, and it takes a lot of heart.
Yes, I think that's really an important part, because you're partially funded by the Portland Public Schools, but so many of your other programs are not. And I wondered if you could tell us about your new approach to fundraising.
Yes, we just launched a campaign called the Crowdfunding Campaign, which is an online sharing fundraiser. It's really easy to help. It's really easy to donate and to support our summer school programs and, like I said, our after-school tutoring and college readiness and engaging these new families. So what people would have to do is they would have to go to our Facebook page, which is a multilingual, multicultural center for the Portland Public Schools, and they could just look at the crowdfunding campaign link and just click and share.
Yes, it looks pretty easy to do. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be doing this crowdfunding until March 18th, is that right?
That's correct. That's when our culmination of the campaign goes, and it ends with our Rock Around the World event, which is a celebration of all the multicultural families and students that we have in our district. Is a great event, and I invite everyone that loves dancing and music and diversity to come. We teach people how to dance different dances from other parts of the world, and we eat excellent, amazing food.
I can speak from experience. It is a fantastic event. Mm-hmm. You're holding hands with people from all over the world, learning dances from all over the world, and
it's a lot of
food
fun
from all over the world. What could be more fun than that? And that's going to be on Friday, March 18th, and that'll be the, and hopefully you will have crowdfunded $15,000 through this campaign online. And those things will go to support summer school,
exactly,
after school tutoring, college readiness program, called Make It Happen.
The Make It Happen program, exactly.
And help to engage newcomer families so that they can get their kids off on the best possible start.
Exactly. And it's very easy to donate. You can donate as much as you can and share it with your friends. We really appreciate everybody's help on this.
Sure. That's how it gets done. Crowdfunding is a unique new idea. It's a twist on an old idea, I guess. But
yeah, we're excited.
I hope it works very well for you.
Thank you very much.
So can people volunteer at a multilingual, multicultural center?
Absolutely, they can volunteer. We are always looking for tutors, especially people who have a heart for the families that we receive. And also, if you speak a different language, we're always looking for volunteers. So if they are interested in volunteer, they can go to our mlc.portlandschools.org/programs, and you can look at all the programs that we have, and the there's a link there where you can just click for volunteering, and Nanette and Kylie will help them out.
I love that. I have people ask me sometimes, you know, where should I start? I really want to get involved, and I'm going to send them in your way.
Yeah, there's tutoring after school programs. There's like when we have events that bring the whole community together, we need volunteers to help around. Summer school, sometimes we need volunteers to come in and tutor with the summer school program. So, yeah.
My son, when he was in high school, volunteered with the summer program. And I just put that out there in case students are listening and they wish there were a way to be involved. You can help younger students learn math or English or just games at recess.
It's a great opportunity. Exactly.
Yeah. Wonderful. So what's your favorite part of your job?
My favorite part of my job is being able to go home and know that somebody that couldn't be heard got heard.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
What do you think is the most important thing to remember as a cultural broker, as you're working with people from really many different cultures?
You know, it doesn't take a lot. Sometimes it's just an education thing, you know, helping people adapt and adjust to a new way of life in this country. Anybody can do a little thing, just like pointing to someone how they can go to the post office to get a money order to pay for a bill. Something simple like that can change somebody's whole day around, you know. Oh, was it that easy? I didn't know I could pay my bill. You know,
that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you wish every Mainer understood about what it's like to be a new Mainer? I see that you are welcoming people all the time, and you have insight onto that. And I wondered if you could help us understand a little bit more about what it might be like to be a new Mainer.
I feel very blessed that I never felt any rejection. I never felt... You know, I always felt very welcomed in Maine. So the same way I extend a welcome to other people from all cultures. So the thing that I would like people to understand is that these people are here because they had very little other chances in their countries. And they're not here to take advantage of our country. They're here to get a chance at life and survival. And they're very eager to become... active contributors to the culture, to the community, to the businesses. So I feel like it's a very good positive addition.
Yeah, you're both a language bridge and a cultural bridge, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Juliana, you seem to have been born to be a language bridge between different people and different cultures, and your work seems to be a real life practice of love thy neighbor. You help Spanish and Portuguese speakers from the Americas and Angola to get established in this corner of the world. However, it is most needed. And you do it with a broader perspective that we were put on earth to love one another. And you're quite amazing. Thank you so much for being willing to come on the show today.
That's my pleasure, Kate. Thank you so very much for giving me this opportunity and this platform.
Yes, and you know lots of people, so send them my way.
I will certainly do. Thank you so much.
Thank you all for listening today. I'm Kate Manahan in the studio with my guest, Juliana Bean. We will close today's program with a song she's chosen for us. Juliana, would you introduce this song to our listeners and share why you picked this particular song today?
Sure. This song is called This Love, and it's by a group called House Fires. And I just love it because it talks about it doesn't matter what you do, it doesn't matter how you do it, you're just loved by God. And if you let yourself be surrounded by this love, you are able to pour this love out into others. So that's what I try to do.
Thank you.
Oh, just to know you. Really taste and see to really taste and see to really walk with you to really walk with you every moment. Walk with you, to be with you, to have my eyes open, to see you, to have my eyes open, to see you, to have my heart open, to know you. Every day, this love is an everyday kind of love. Every morning I'm in it. This love is an everyday kind of love. Every evening I'm in it. This love is an everyday kind of love. Every morning I'm in it. This love is an everyday kind of love. This love doesn't leave me all alone. And it never forgets its own. This love won't leave me cause my past is bad. Oh, when this love lifts me up above the waves, I don't need to be overwhelmed. Oh, when it raises me upon a rock, so my feet can finally stand on ground.